On May 14th, I'll be hosting a free support event in honor of Mother's Day. In partnership with Prove and with doulas on my team, we are hosting this space, and it's going to be similar to the spaces that we hold for our support groups, but most importantly, it's a safe space for bereaved mothers to come and seek support, validation, and community. You can register and learn more about this event, again, it's free, by clicking the link in today's episode notes. We also have new support groups starting in May, from first-time loss, recurrent loss, secondary loss, infant loss, and more. View these groups by visiting themiscarriagedoula.co or by clicking the link in the show description. Some of our groups are available to register for, while others have wait lists. You can check out all of the information for these groups and our free event at themiscarriagedoula.co. Now, let's get into this episode. You're listening to Miscarriage Stories with Arden Cartrett. Hi, Morgan. Welcome to Miscarriage Stories. I started the call with telling you how sorry I was that you were here, but that I'm so happy for your voice. And I know that other people listening are going to be sad listening to your story, but very grateful that you're here to share. Whenever you're ready, I'm going to let you take it away.
All right. So me and my husband met in 2016 and were married in 2017. So very, very quick relationship. And we knew we wanted kids eventually, but we were just trying to get financially responsible. I know people say you're never financially ready, but we were trying to be financially responsible. So we started trying in 2021. We got pregnant pretty quickly. We think about 6 weeks of trying. We got a positive test March of 2021. I think it was my husband's birthday when we got a positive test. Went to the doctor. I was still very early. About 5 weeks, so they couldn't see anything on the ultrasound really. They just did the pregnancy urine test. Come back 4 weeks, whatever. I was feeling fine, wasn't sick, I was just exhausted. None of the typical symptoms, I guess. And we went in for our first ultrasound, and our ultrasound tech was making her measurements, and she was very quiet, and that is always terrifying now that I'm on this side, when the ultrasound tech is quiet, you know that something's wrong. And she looks at me and she's like, I have to go get the doctor. And I'm oblivious to everything that's going on, and my husband looks at me and he's like, Morgan, something's wrong. But whatever it is, we are going to be okay. And I'm like, no, maybe it's just something's not measuring right, you know, still oblivious. And the doctor comes in and she grabs my hand and she said, Morgan, I'm sorry, but there's no heartbeat. And she said, at this point, there really should be. And she looks at the measurements again, and we see the baby, and she said, how far along are you supposed to be? And I said, 9 weeks and 2 days. And she said, you're measuring 9 weeks and a day. She said, we think this really happened within the last couple, 24 hours. And so they tell you our options, pass it naturally, take a pill, or have surgery. And my husband was like, it's your body, it's your decision. Whatever you want to do. And we had told family at this point, because you just don't think that you're going to be that one in four to get to have a miscarriage. And so I said, well, let's just have surgery, let's get the physical part over, so we can pick up the pieces and move on. So I think that was a Monday or Tuesday. And then that Thursday I had surgery. And that the doctor had let Bailey know, basically my body was not ready to miscarry. So he had to be a little bit more aggressive in the surgery and the recovery might be a little bit more. So that Monday night and that Tuesday morning, I was in incredible pain, about 8 or 9 out of 10. And I went to work still just thinking this is normal and just felt worse and worse and worse. And I called the nurse and she said, this is not normal. You should not be hurting this bad. And we did ultrasound blood work and he said, your uterus is full of blood clots and we have to go have emergency surgery today. You can't go home. And so take him to the hospital with my mother-in-law. Thankfully she was there and we get my husband there and we have that surgery that night and they're like, you can try again after a period. So we did, and we got pregnant that time. We pretty much as we can guess and get the positive test and we go to the ultrasound and they're like, you're not measuring where you kind of should be. Maybe your cycle was off. Come back in 2 weeks and we will be sure that you are progressing the way you should. The pregnancy, carrying to term of pregnancy after a miscarriage is really high. You know, very rarely, not rarely, but do people miscarry back to back. So we went in for that second ultrasound and they said, I'm sorry, you're just not where you should be. They called it a blighted ovum. They said, with your past, we think you should have surgery. They said, if this happens again, we can do genetic testing, but we're not there now. And I'm like, okay, well, this is just bad luck on bad luck. But so I went and had surgery with that one and did recovery again. And they were like, they never told us to wait after our second miscarriage. It was always like, get a cycle in and you can start trying again. And we'll just monitor this next time. So we got pregnant. The best we can think is November. So the second one was in August and the first one was in April. So within 4 months, I've had 3 surgeries. So we get pregnant and this time I'm sick. Ground beef, hamburgers, or just like, I thought, oh, this is great. I've never been sick before. The baby is doing what it's supposed to do. The sicker, the better is what I had always been told. And we went in for the ultrasound December 21st. And I remember this day because it was the anniversary of my grandfather's death. So I'm just like thinking, okay, he's going to be here. Like, this is going to be perfect. Like, there's going to be a heartbeat. It's going to be a healthy baby. We're not going to have bad luck 3 times in a row. And same thing again, was a blighted ovum. And they said, well, we can do genetic testing this time. We still recommend surgery. And I said, I just want surgery before Christmas. I don't want to go through Christmas knowing that not only am I miscarrying, but I could miscarry on Christmas. And that just ruined the holidays for me. So we went and had surgery. And we did genetic testing. And they're like, we're not finding anything wrong. You are getting pregnant. You're getting pregnant quickly. Let's go to a fertility doctor because at this point, it could, even though you're getting pregnant, it still could be a fertility issue. But all the genetic testing is coming back good on me, normal on the babies, and normal on my husband. Everything was textbook perfect. So They had set us up for the fertility doctor in June of 22, but I called one day in February and they were like, we have an opening tomorrow. Can you come? So I'm like, yes, like, let's get some answers so we can start trying again. Ran all the same tests, which I don't know what would have changed genetically. Like, they ran all the same tests. And in March, we went back for our results, and they had said, your egg count is really, really low, so let's help the quality because your quantity is low. So we get put on vitamins, and we just start kind of not preventing, but not preventing. And we get pregnant in June of last year. First time trying. First time the ultrasound, we saw a heartbeat. We saw a baby that had a heartbeat that was moving. So we tell our family on vacation. And everything's just great. Everything's going good. I'm sick. Really couldn't eat meat again. Really, the only thing that was good was cheese and crackers. Water was just not good. And the doctors were like, we're going to do everything more cautiously. They did ask if I wanted to be high risk, and I asked if there was a need for it, because at this point, we know there's a heartbeat. We know the baby's growing. So, like, we've gotten past everything that we had been before. They didn't recommend I go high risk. So they did the early glucose test, perfect. We did the blood test, and we found out it was a boy, because at this point, we've been through so much. We want to know. We want to start preparing. And my family has a history of preeclampsia, and they say it's not genetic, but I definitely think it is, and I will share why. So we did the protein urine test, and then we did our anatomy scan the next day, and they said, yes, this is a very, very healthy baby boy. I'm 18 weeks at this point. He flip in, and they said his heartbeat is really, really strong for a boy. Like, he's a strong, healthy baby. And I think at that point, me and my husband were like, okay, like, this is happening. Like, this is really gonna happen. We're really gonna have a baby this time. And this was October of 2022. I started swelling severely, and I hit 20 weeks, and my husband was like, well, just come home from work, lay down, I'll take care of everything. And I just remember just getting more and more swollen and just more and more uncomfortable, and me and my husband were just like, well, maybe it's because I'm so little, I'm 5'2", like, this baby really has nowhere to go but out. All the tests are coming back perfect, so, like, we don't think there's any room for anything to go wrong. Well, it was a Monday, and I work at the doctor's office that I go to. And I had a nurse check my blood pressure, and it was sky high. And she was like, that's really, really high. Let's let you rest for an hour, take a nap, we'll check it again. So we did that, and it just kept going up. And so my coworker called my doctor, and they were like, yeah, have her come in. I had pretty much at this point seen everybody, so they all kind of knew our story. So they were like, yeah, absolutely, bring her in. And by the time we got to the clinic, my blood pressure had went. But then I get on the scale, and I'd gained 20 pounds in a matter of 2 weeks. So between the anatomy scan and now had been 2 weeks, I gained 20 pounds. And they tried to find his heartbeat on the Doppler. And the first nurse was like, I'm still new, like, I'm sure everything is fine, but I'm just having trouble finding it. So I'm going to go get somebody else. And so she goes and gets another nurse, and she's like, I'm not finding it. Let's try one more time. But after that, we're going to put you in an ultrasound, and we don't want to keep putting you through this if we can't find a heartbeat. So then the third nurse came in, and she was like, I'm not finding it, and it should be here. Like, we should be able to see it. He's 20 weeks at this point. Like, it should be no trouble to find it on the Doppler. And we go and do an ultrasound, and the ultrasound tech from the first miscarriage, she had pretty much been our ultrasound tech every single time. So she, like, she knew our history. She knew kind of everything that we had been through. And thankfully, my mother-in-law had came to this appointment too, because she was just the closest. And you, of course, they have it on the screen so you can see your baby. So she's doing her measurements and she's not talking. And she looks at me and she grabs my hand. She says, I'm sorry, but I have to go get the doctor. And so at the end, we kind of, without telling us, she told us that we had lost this pregnancy too. And my husband, after the first one, was always kind of like straight up tell us. So we're not caught off guard without telling us. And so she would always be like, I don't like what I see. So, like, we weren't caught off guard by the time the doctor came in the room. So she went and got the doctor, and the doctor was like, we had to pull the ultrasound back up. And she said, but I'm sorry, he doesn't have a heartbeat. And so I knew at that point that it wasn't something that I could have surgery for, that I would have to go, like, have him, because I was so far along. And so we went to the hospital, and we had, you know, I had to call my husband, and he's a football coach, so he was at football practice, and the head coach had brought him, and there's still, like, COVID rules at the hospital. Like, you can only have one support person. But since we were in the situation we were in, my parents got to come. My husband's mom and stepdad, and then his dad and stepmom got to come, and they let our pastors come and just kind of be there for us and just pray for us. And I think at that point, once we knew that there was something that we could do for our baby, it was like, well, what can we do for you? Because, I mean, my blood pressure at one point was 196 over 110. So it was like, we've got to get mama, we've got to get this baby out so mama can ultimately be healthy. And we have, it's called Heaven's Cradle. I think other, like, hospitals got have branches of it. Where, like, you get, they help pay for, like, the funeral, they help, they give you the casket, they, give you, like, clothes and stuff, that you put on the baby. And we had got connected with them in 2021. So they were kind of familiar with our story too. And the nurses, once we got to the hospital, were just kind of like, this is what's going to happen. We're going to induce you in labor, and we're going to, you're going to have a birth with him. And they said, it's your call when you're ready. And they said it could take a couple hours, or it could take a few days. Like, it's really just whenever your body is ready to start birth, whenever he is ready to come. So we started labor around 8:30, and around 4:35, I had asked for my epidural. I was pretty uncomfortable, and at this point, my husband had been up for 36 hours. Bless his heart, he was exhausted. Our parents were exhausted. The anesthesiologist came in, and he's prepping me for my epidural, and he is just talking, and the nurses have said, there's no judgment. You can be as mean as you want. And they kept saying, you're one of the nicest patients we've had all day. And then the anesthesiologist comes in, and he's just talking and talking and talking. And you want to tell him to shut up, but he's got a big needle in your back, so you don't want him to hurt you. So around 5:30, they were like, okay, we're done. You can go ahead and lean back. And I said, no, I'm ready to push. Like, he's ready. And they let my mom be in the room and my husband be in the room when Tatum was born. And he was 10 ounces and 8 inches long. And he was born October 18th of 2022. And just we got to spend 13 hours with him and take pictures with him. And we have his handprints and we have his footprints. And we got to spend that time holding and just loving on our son. His due date is actually the 28th of this month. So that's coming up. Just dreading that. You never think that you're going to be the 1 in 4 to have a miscarriage. I mean, you never think you're going to be the 1 in 100 to be in reoccurrent miscarriage. And then you sure as heck don't think that you're going to be the one that has a stillbirth. And it's just, you don't think that this is going to be your story. You always hear, oh, well, so-and-so, this happened to so-and-so, or this happened. She had to have a stillbirth or whatever, and you never think that that's going to happen to you. And so, and then you see just everyone getting pregnant so easily, like you are, but their pregnancies are healthy and they're having perfect pregnancies, and you're like, well, why can't I? Like, what's wrong with me? Why won't my body do what it's supposed to do? And that's really something that, like, I'm having to work on. In Heaven's Cradle, pays for, like, moms and dads to go to therapy. So, like, that definitely has been a saving grace for me, because I know in my mind and my heart that it's not, none of my losses are my fault, but it's like, well, what could I have done different? And the truth is, like, I couldn't have done anything differently. Like, the outcome is going to be the outcome no matter what. So they determined that I just had really early onset preeclampsia, which we keep hearing. This is rare. It's not rare, but it's not. It happens. You know, it's normal. And then they say, well, this could just be really bad luck. And you want to be like, well, we're 4 for 4 for bad luck. So, like, what are we? When is our luck not going to be bad? So after Tatum was born, they were like, well, let's get you in with the high risk doctor just to see next steps, like what. But they're like, there's nothing that we really could have done differently. You were already on the baby aspirin. You can take 2, and but that's not a cure all. So we went to the high risk OB doctor, and he was like, you were doing everything that you could have done. And that's comforting. And he's like, it could happen again. You could have more miscarriages and you could have more stillbirths. And I think that's kind of just what me and my husband were wanting. Like, someone just be straight up like, this could happen again, versus I really feel like your next pregnancy is going to be the one. So that's just kind of where we are. My body is, I tell people my body's been pregnant 4 times in the last 2 years. So I'm tired. My mind is tired. My emotions are tired. I want to get through this month of that was supposed to be welcoming a baby boy. And just really focus on myself and getting mentally in a place where I am, where I'm not terrified to get pregnant, where I'm not just imagining every little thing is going wrong. That's could go wrong, is going to go wrong. So yeah, that's pretty much my story. 3 miscarriages and a stillbirth to a baby boy. Yeah.
Morgan, thank you so much for sharing. I feel like the bad luck element gets thrown around a lot. And I think at first we do start to think, okay, maybe one is bad luck, but 3 miscarriages and a stillbirth is a whole lot of bad luck if that's the case. I think that's a cruel hand of luck. And stillbirth, like you said it whenever you learned that Tatum didn't have a heartbeat, that you were told that you couldn't have surgery at this point, that you had to vaginally deliver your son. And I think that's an element of pregnancy after loss that often isn't talked about, is like you fear that something bad is going to happen still, but you don't realize that your options change at different gestations. Yeah. And that you don't really have options after like 15 or 16 weeks. And that's a really scary element.
Yeah. And my placenta was not coming the way that they wanted it to. So when Tatum was born, there was not a doctor in the room. Like, I was ready to push him out so fast by like the time they could get to the door to get the doctor, like he would have been here anyway. So the doctor came in and he was like, well, we're gonna see if your placenta will come naturally too. Like, he was like, I really don't want to do surgery, or I can't remember what they've called it, but he was like, I really don't want to do that because you've had 4 DNCs last year. Like, I don't really want to scrape anymore on your uterus. Scar tissue risk, all of that. And so then my OB doctor came in like 3 hours after Tatum was born, and she was like, oh no, this has to come out now. So she was like, she cleared the room. She got nurses, and my husband got to be in the corner holding Tatum. And my husband was a cop, So he has seen a lot of gruesome stuff. But when it comes to me, he's such a baby. He's like, are you okay? Like, doctor, are you sure she's okay? Like, are you sure this is normal? So, like, I remember, like, days in and out, and she's, like, scraping my uterus to get the placenta out. And he's like, doc, that's a lot of blood. That's a lot of blood, doc. And my doctor's like, this is normal. This is okay. Like, this is good. And he's like, babe, you sure you're okay? And I'm so drugged up that I'm like, yep, I'm great. I don't remember a lot of her delivering my placenta. I just remember a lot of my husband like, babe.
I think that you could see gruesome stuff, but when it's somebody you love, oh, it's so different.
My mom came in after Tatum was born, because my husband was like, I need to get away for a minute. And that's understandable. Like,
yeah.
So my mom was like, he told y'all's pastors, our lead pastor and our worship pastor, he said, I can lose another baby, but I cannot lose Morgan.
Mm.
So, like, I think he was just terrified that something was going to happen to me. And, I mean, we've been through loss before. Not loss like this, but we've been through loss before. And a lot of the doctors said loss will either make you or break you. And I think we're, like, bound and determined to be that couple that makes it. Because no one, yes, people may have a similar story like mine, but like no one knows what I'm feeling and no one knows what Bailey's feeling other than us, because we've walked it together. We've been through it together. So like we are just bound and determined to be one of those couples that make it. And one day be able to tell our kids, hey, this is what Mommy and Daddy went through, but like we're stronger because of it, and this is why we love you differently. But we went from expecting a perfect baby boy to on Saturday to on Tuesday having to decide where we want to bury him and where we want to be buried, because like you just have these choices that are decisions that you never thought you would have before you're 30 years old.
Yeah. No, that's that's a great point. It's more than just where's your son going to be buried, because you want to be buried one day with your son. You know, you don't want to have multiple different places for family members. And that's a difficult part. So yeah, I don't think a lot of people think of that.
And he was like, well, what plot do you want to be yours? Do you want Tatum in the middle or do you want you in the middle? And he was, I want to be buried by my baby, but I also want to be buried by my son, but I also want you to be able to be buried by your son. And my husband was like, I don't care. Like, you can be buried by him. You carried him. You had that attachment to him that I didn't have. So I ended up just saying, well, just put me in the middle and that'll be that.
Going through pregnancy loss, it brings up all these morbid conversations and horrible things that we don't ever think we're going to have to talk about. And I think that adds to the cruelness of it, because it's like you said, you didn't think you'd be picking out that stuff before you were 30, and it kind of feels wrong that you're doing it before 30, you know, like not supposed to happen like that.
Right. And, you know, having to plan a funeral for a baby, because we did a funeral and we kind of tugged back and forth. Do we just want to do a funeral? Do we just want to bury him? And my husband said, people are going to want to show up.
Mm-hmm. Love
that. He said, and I don't want to, he said, I want to honor Tatum the way that we should honor him. And so my husband actually spoke at his funeral, And my husband is not a speaker. We are not people that like to be the center of attention. And when he spoke, he was like, I don't want to tell you what I'm saying. He's like, I'm just going to speak from my heart. And he just did phenomenal and just surpassed anything that I could have ever imagined that he would have, he could have said. So he did great. And he has been my stronghold through all of this for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, Morgan, thank you so much for sharing Tatum with us. And not funny in a ha-ha way, but like the timing works out with this episode where your episode would actually go live the week of his due date. And so isn't that so crazy that that's I'm looking at my calendar and that's when this would go live. And so it's kind of like that's in his honor during that week. And I just, that's wild.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I was just looking at my calendar thinking about when this would go live. So when people are listening to this, I hope that they take a second and they think about Tatum because it's his due date. And I know that you're not going to have an easy day. It's going to be a really difficult time, but I feel like every day without him hasn't been easy, you know?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And you don't think, I'm actually getting a tattoo tomorrow for his birthday. And, you know, people are like, well, do you want to think about it? Do you want to see it and think about it? And I'm like, I already think about him every day. I already look at his picture every day. I'm already reminded every day that he's not here. And he's not going to be here. So what better way to carry on his memory than just to have him with me forever, forever.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's so special. I think that's a great way to honor him. But I'm also somebody, I have multiple tattoos. I think that's a great way.
Yeah.
I think that especially whenever you've lost a child, it can be a way that you continue to carry them. And if that's helpful to you, then that's all that matters.
Yeah. And what I left out about this, about our first miscarriage. So me and my husband really like gender neutral names. So we found out we're pregnant. We pretty much picked a name right off the bat. So we named our first one Ramsey Blake. And the anesthesiologist that did my surgery was Dr. Ramsey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that because I think, yes, there are things that of course can just be random coincidences, but sometimes whenever they fall into place time and time again, you start to think there's something to this, like these are signs. And I think that they, you know, those things are so special to hold on to.
Yeah. And people keep saying, oh, you're just one of the strongest women I've met. Like, you're so strong. Like, how do you do it? How do you do it? And I'm like, the Lord, like, and I know not everyone is believers, but I can't, for my beliefs, I know I'm going to see my babies one day. I know they're there with my husband's, both of his grandmothers and my grandfather. Like, I know they're up there, and I know that they won't want their mommy to be sad all the time. So, like, I live every day finding some joy in the circumstances that we're in. I really feel like the Lord didn't give me this 2 years for nothing. Like, I really feel like good is going to come out of it, even though I don't see good right now. Like, good is going to come out of it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because I think, you know, people somehow or sometimes wonder, like, how do you keep going? And I think it is so unique to everybody, just like everybody's story is so unique, but it's helpful to hear whenever you're in the thick of it. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for letting people share. I've been wanting to share all of my baby's stories. and just really haven't known how. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share.